I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? It's a really weird word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information. Ask me for more, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can barely hear you in the thickening of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And my mind was not enslaved in the last hour, but it was held captive. I mean, Doug had me mesmerized, and my apologies to Doug for the abrupt end to the interview. It's kind of like jumping out of the plane without a parachute, so my apologies, Doug. Really, if there's a better show out there, a better radio show than the Hagman and Hagman Report, I've yet to see it. And there are a lot of really, really good shows, but theirs is top-notch. Again, I want to give Doug his proper due. He's on from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 4 o'clock on the West Coast. And he has a great book that he really kind of cut his teeth in terms of being a private investigator, called Stained by Blood. And Doug, I apologize for not getting that out too. Stained by Blood, and I don't have that information here because I usually rely on Doug to give it. But if you go to thecommonsenseshow.com in the right-hand column, you'll see Doug's picture and the title of the book, Stained by Blood, and click it on, take you right to the order page. And if you haven't got it, you need to get it. It's a terrific book. Again, Doug, thanks for the great hypnotic interview. That's what we'll call it. And I'm not so sure that this hour is going to be any different. Wow. Okay, I'm catching my breath. ReadyMadeResources.com is the sponsor for this hour, and it just happens to be we're going to interview the owner of ReadyMadeResources.com. Let me remind you that you don't want to go away after this hour, too, because we've got a terrific hour for you in hour number three with Ronnie McMullen. He and I had a fascinating conversation about post-election hangout and fallout, and is Trump going to assume the oath of office? And kind of some similar things to Doug and me, but there were some differences you're going to want to catch. And then the last half hour, we have the legendary G. Edward Griffin, so don't go anywhere, okay? And I'll try to keep my mind focused on the clock. Bob Griswold, welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us.
It's always a pleasure to be here. I was definitely enjoying listening to the first hour. I think we all know what is going on, Dave. You know, there's a saying, you don't need to go out and tell squirrels when it's time to gather nuts. They just know there's a time you do it because there's a winter coming, and something inside of their biological clock or biological nature tells them that they need to store up for hard times, winter, that is coming. You don't need to go out and educate them. They do it automatically. And I think most people that are in the know, that do not follow the mainstream media, that do follow alternate news media, realize that, I mean, we look at the election, Dave, half of America voted for a Luciferian candidate, a candidate who believes in open borders, a candidate who would allow we don't know how many Syrians or jihadis into the country that are on top of the ones already here, a candidate who would just be absolutely corrupt to the core. Half of America. Now, this is a really strong statement, Dave. I hate that half of America, not the people, but I hate what they stand for. And so when you're talking about this civil war, and I know Hagman was thinking, what's the mechanics of how it would come about? I'm thinking we're already there. We just don't realize that there is some shooting. There is some violence. We're seeing the beginnings of it now. I think we've seen Fort Sumter. I mean, I think it's happened. And And I think it's just going to get worse as the sides become more and more polarized. That's why that blue-gray moment, we are at that blue-gray moment in the United States right now. I mean, actually, I think it's in the rearview mirror. We've had a whole generation, a little bit more than a generation of children raised in Marxist education centers called public school. They've been thoroughly indoctrinated into socialism and to every type of deviant behavior, and that is what we're seeing. And so we're there. I don't think it is something that's going to be happening in the future. I think it's just going to continue to get worse from what we see, and the sides will polarize more and more. If you looked at the map, I mean, granted, most of the map was red, but those blue centers of that map, half of the people that voted for Hillary Clinton are in those blue centers, and those are deeply entrenched, philosophically fortified, you know, areas of our country that basically believe that Hillary Clinton, the Luciferian, would have been a good candidate. I mean, doesn't that scare you? I mean, it's not like Nixon and Kennedy, like you were talking about. I mean, today I'd probably vote for Kennedy over Nixon. I think he was a very good man. He had moral failures, but what he was trying to do was very good. But both men still had America and the Constitution as we know it. They both of them still had the vision of the founding fathers. They just had different ways they were going to go about it, fulfilling it. Today, these people, they do not want the Constitution. They want to obliterate all forms of our government. They want to obliterate all forms of wealth. They believe in property redistribution. They and they'll accomplish it by violence. It's not going to stop. This is what we need to say, and this is what we need to tell people. This is not going to stop. One man is not going to make a difference. And I'm going to go back because, you know, you mentioned the I guess to the mainstream media, I'll call you guys the unholy trinity. Forgive me, I don't mean it in a pejorative sense, but you got Hagmans, Quayle, and Hodges. You know, you guys have said it so many times. It's not a political problem. It's a spiritual problem. And unless we deal with the spiritual nature of what's going on, which the church in America is clueless about, I mean, you know, most of them are just totally clueless about the fact of it. We think we've elected somebody who's going to be able to wave a magic wand and absolutely change this division that we see in America today. And it is a caustic division. It's not polite anymore as it was when we were growing up. I mean, granted, you know, Kennedy probably did steal the election from Nixon through Chicago, Illinois politics, but it still was civil. It's not civil anymore. It's not civil. People need to realize that. And there's a tendency to think, well, my man won, everything's going to be okay. My man won, he's going to appoint Supreme Court justices, and they're going to make everything right. You're not going to tame the wickedness of human hearts. You're not going to detain the depravity of Marxist upbringing by putting six or seven people on the Supreme Court and saying, now you got to obey these people. They're not going to obey them. They don't obey the laws today. I mean, they're all beating people up, murdering them, killing them, lighting fires, raping, anything they can do. They're out doing it, and there's plenty of laws to tell them they can't do it. But they do it anyhow because it's the spirit of lawlessness, and you can't quench the spirit of lawlessness with more laws. Does that make sense to you?
Makes perfect sense. And Obama did his best to undo our justice system, and Loretta Lynch fostered it when she wouldn't prosecute Hillary Clinton. I mean, there are no rules. I wrote an article 10 years ago, and I think it's more true today than it was then, Bob. It was entitled, "We're Playing in a Game with No Rules." And that's really what we're in right now.
We're playing in a game with one-sided rules. They're telling people like you and me, we have to obey these rules. We have to do this. But then, if we at all, you know, say, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, they do what they do now. They send their people out to loot, burn, rape, pillage, plunder, whatever it takes. The brown shirts come out of the woodwork, and they start doing what brown shirts typically do. And that's the Night of the Broken, when they went out in Night of the Broken Glass or whatever it was, they just go out and start breaking things and beating people. And it's amazing. It's totally amazing that our current sitting president and the Democratic contender who lost hasn't said one bloody word about, listen, this is a democratic process. Let's stop this. You know, let's stop this. You know, we don't like the outcome. I wanted to become president. I didn't get it. So, let's next time around we'll try. No, they're out. They haven't said a word to stop it. Which, by their omission of saying anything, it's an encouragement. I mean, if how many times has the right been accused by not coming out and denying something over and over again that we're complicit because we haven't denied it enough? You know, or whether it's a racist thing or whatever it is, we didn't come out and deny it 900 times, so therefore you're complicit. Well, I mean, Bill and the Hillary Clinton team and the Barack Obama team hasn't even denied it once. They're complicit. I mean, that's my view. They're complicit. And so we have to realize as American citizens right now, those who love the Constitution, those who listen to this program, do you mind if I, did that offend you when I called you the unholy Trinity?
God knows where I stand.
I say it in the perspective of the mainstream media looking at you.
Listen. I'm comfortable in my shoes with my faith. And I know, I'm sure Doug is, and I'm sure Steve is. I mean, I know Steve is. You should have heard the prayer he offered when he was on.
I listened
Sunday
to it.
Election.
I listened to it all the 3 hours. It was excellent. Yes, the imprecatory prayer. Pray against these people.
Bob, you want to hear something kind of funny? This is. I'm not kidding you. The election's in the balance with Michigan and Pennsylvania, and I prayed a prayer. I said, I can't do it the way Steve does, God, but you know my heart is hopefully just as sincere as Steve, and what he said, all the things he said, God, is what I pray for. Please, don't let a Luciferian be in charge of us. And he answered our prayers.
Absolutely, he did. And again, this is where we have to be concerned, because you have to understand this deep state, the Rothschilds, the Soroses, these people, this deep state government that controls the world has access to untold wealth, trillions, untold trillions of dollars. They control it. They have access through occultic connection with people that have, you know, there are people that are just bad, they do bad things, but they haven't gone out and, you know, cut their wrists and poured blood on the altar and said their homage to Lucifer and committed their lives to him. They're just bad people. But these people have actually done those things. They've actually gone through the Luciferian rites. I mean, and they're out there. They're controlling things. They have unlimited deep pockets. They have a very well orchestrated network of wicked people. And so it's only by the grace of God that this man is going to be allowed to do anything. And we do need to pray for him. He's not a perfect man. He doesn't walk on water. But at the same time, I mean, compared to what we could have gotten, it's you know, leaps and bounds beyond that. It is something that might slow down the slide into depravity. Or, Dave, if we go unrepentant, it could accentuate it. It could speed it up. And let me explain what I mean. I mean, there's, again, we go back to that, the paradigm of right now what we have. Half of America hates the other half of America. It's the blue-gray moment. How many, 49 million people voted for Hillary Clinton? 49 million people voted for Donald Trump, give or take. I mean, half of America hates the other half. And it's not like we can say, you know, well, the ideologies really aren't that diametrically opposed. They are. They're completely diametrically opposed. Donald Trump stands in contrast from light to darkness, from on to off, from stop to go of everything that the globalists want. He stands in opposition to it. And so what are they going to do? What do they have planned to prevent this man from implementing or the dismantling, I should say, of their goal that they have been working for, you know, well over a generation to accomplish? What are they going to do to stop him? I think it was a very good analogy. He said, you know, he had Kennedy, Johnson, and Johnson was an absolutely wicked man. And, you know, as soon as he got into office, he undid everything that Kennedy was trying to do. And, you know, we knew with George Bush, they're globalist, and what they tried to do with Reagan, because he probably wouldn't cooperate with them. And you really do have to wonder if this is somehow, you know, a trend that we're going to see maybe coming to Donald Trump. And I pray to God it doesn't, because, again, it'll just further separate the country. You know, as a Christian, I think we both, you know, you said it earlier, we don't want this. Only a fool wants it. Only a wicked person wants this kind of division and fighting and death and destruction. I mean, I'm a Christian person. You're a Christian person. We want to see peace. We want to see brotherly love. I want to see blacks and whites and Hispanics and Orientals. I want us getting along. I mean, there's no need. Well, I mean, what do we get out of fighting each other except dead people and broken things? I mean, that's what you get. I mean, there's really not a lot of upside to fighting people like that. But again, we are at that moment because we've had a whole generation of children that have come up into this school system, that have gone through these absolutely Marxist universities and come out as, I mean, just, you talk to them, you watch them on social media. They are rabid in their Marxist beliefs, and nothing you can say, it doesn't even do any good to talk to them. Nothing you can say can even dissuade them one iota or one minuscule amount of what they believe. Facts in historical evidence, nothing affects them. So again, we're back to that, back to that point that they look at us as really seriously deplorables. That's what we are in their opinion. I mean, we've coined that now as proudly deplorable. But when you're looking at it from their point of view, Dave, I mean, you know, they think you are deplorable, and they don't say it in a manner. They absolutely, you know, the hatred, you can hear it in their voice when they call you a deplorable.
Bob, this
we've
is
seen
really
the things
dangerous.
That you voted for. Pardon me?
And what I mean by that, when you look at what the strategy is prior to evisceration of one's rights, incarceration in mass, and eventual genocide, history always follows the same pattern. And the pattern is, number one, dehumanize your opponent through pejorative labels. And we're seeing conspiracy theorists replaced by fake news artists. Now we're seeing the term deplorables. These are going to be the new buzzwords that marginalizes. And if people don't think the FEMA camps aren't going to be waiting, if these people ever really get in charge totally, think again.
Yeah, it's exactly right. You know, World War One. I mean, please, for any person of Asian descent or Japanese descent, this is not meant, you know, in any way coming from my heart to you, but I've watched movies where they were called Yellow Monkeys. They had to demonize the Japanese people, and I mean, they did some pretty deplorable things. But if you watch the movies of that era, of the late 40s and early 50s movies about World War II, that's the term that was used in those, some of those movies. They had to demonize them. I mean, you think of what they called the Vietnamese. They had to demonize them. You know, and so, especially when race comes in or ethnic background comes in, it's so easy to do it. I mean, you know, we had Oriental people, and it's easy to say that, you know, we're superior to them, and so it's easy to demonize. Matt Bracken, had, you know, said it, Americans want it simple. And this is and the Luciferians know this. We want it simple. Dave, I can look at you, and I can look at Dave Hodges, and I can say, I don't know if he's a Protestant or a Catholic. He might even be a Muslim. I can look at Dave Hodges and say, well, I can't tell if he's a Republican or a Democrat. But I can look at Dave Hodges and say he's a white guy. And this is what the Luciferians are playing on. They know it's the lowest common denominator. Americans want it simple. The race card is the easiest card to play because you don't have to question anybody. I'd have to question you to figure out if you're Republican or Democrat, if you're just, you know, John Q. Public walking on the street. I'd have to question you whether you're a Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, Buddhist, or whatever else if I met you on the street. But you know, the average person who's been told, you know, white privilege and all these other terms to create division among people, they can look at you and say, you're a white guy, he's my enemy, I'm going to go have to deal with him right now. And that's been done on purpose. And that's not going away. So,
it's not going
to
go away.
Welcome to the new America.
You know, you're going to have to make it go away. I mean, you know how the Civil War ended, and this is what a lot of people don't realize. They don't know how brutal it was. The Civil War effectively was ended by Sherman's march to the sea, and it was a scorched earth policy: kill every farm animal that could provide sustenance to the Confederates, burn down every farmhouse, blow up every bridge, tear up every railroad track that you could, and they basically destroyed the South's ability to fight. Bob, do you think that we're going to see these kinds of scorched earth policies in play? I mean, we're certainly headed in that direction.
I think they're going to be far worse. Let me explain, Dave. Because if we're so computer dependent, that last test run they did to the New England states, where they just shut things down. I mean, I saw the picture on Drudge Report of just people staring blindly at their cell phones. Basically, their electronic opium had been turned off, and they didn't know what to do. But it gets far more serious than that very quickly, because the EBT cards shut off. We've seen just spot places where the EBT has not worked, and you see people just absolutely go feral very quickly, put it that way. They go feral. Imagine if they turn the water off. Imagine if they turn the electricity off. The dimension of warfare today is far greater than what Sherman could have ever done. You actually had to have boots on the ground to go and burn and do that. Today, you can sit behind a computer in some little garage in your parents' basement, mad at the world. You are a social justice warrior who wants to take out, you know, your dissatisfaction with life or whoever, and you start hacking things and it shuts things down. And, you know, Ted Koppel has written a book, Lights Out. William Fortune, I think, wrote the book One Second After. There's been numerous other books written about the vulnerabilities of our grid, our computer infrastructure. And today we could do far, far greater and quicker than what Sherman could have ever dreamed of doing. You could turn America off, and the social engineers say that within a year of having a massive, grid downer situation, you could effectively kill, you know, most of the population of the United States. So, yeah, it's at a very grave time in our nation, and I say this, Dave, I don't want to steal anybody's elation that Trump won. But it always goes back, I think, to what Steve Quayle says. It's not a political solution. It's a spiritual solution. And until America, we have the blood of 70 million children. It's called unrequited blood. I mean, God requires blood for blood. He did. And there's the blood of 70 million children that have flown through America's sewers. And not only worse than that, we take the most innocent members of these children and cut them up and sell their body parts. We don't want to forget about these things. We don't want to forget that we have taken the covenant of marriage and turned it on its ear and just said anybody can do it for any, you know, whatever you want to do. And it just becomes a thing of gross immorality. And what I'm talking about there, red and blue, I mean, red and blue are engaging in those things. Republican Party and the Democratic Party. I mean, if you look at the immorality in these parties and even in a lot of the people that work in those things, it's pretty grave. And so we have to understand, as Jefferson said, you know, I fear for my nation because I know God is just. And he is just. Donald Trump could be a good thing for America. He was the only choice I think we had really to vote for. But at the other side, he is a very polarizing person, which could turn the blue, I mean, as rapid as they are today, it could absolutely turn them, you know, to where all restraints are cut loose. And we see that that civil war we're talking about. And it might not be just, you know, liberal conservative. You have that racial element of the different racial makeups of America. You have the different religious makeups of America. You could easily find yourself in a multifaceted civil war, not just a north-south side. or, you know, conservative liberal side. It can be multifaceted very quickly to where you really wouldn't know who your friend is or your foe is. And so, again, welcome to America. What these globalists have made us.
Well, what we're following, and I wrote about this, 4 years ago, maybe. Rules for Radicals, you know, Saul Alinsky, and this is who Hillary Clinton dedicated her thesis to. And the rules for radicals are tear it all down, and here are the ways that you tear it down. In other words, create a welfare state, pit one group against another, you know, black versus white, gay versus straight. And then when you tear it down, then you're able to rebuild your version of totalitarianism in the way that you want it. And we're following the rules for radicals. No question.
There's been absolutely no question. Cleo Skousen wrote the book The Naked Communist in the 50s, and it's a book that everybody should read today because it was absolutely prophetic, and it's what was going to happen in America, and how these communist Marxists were going to infiltrate every institution in America, especially our religious institutions, our educational institutions, and they were going to, at that point, just sow the seeds of Marxist thought and revolution to the up-and-coming people that would be occupying our pulpits and occupying our educational centers. That's been accomplished. In fact, one of the things he said in it is that gay marriage would be one of the final straws that they would implement before the collapse of our civilization. And this was written in the 50s when gay marriage wasn't even a blip on the radar screen. He actually predicted that. You can easily get the book, The Naked Communist, by Cleo Skousen and read it. It's a very, very well-documented book. He was 16 years with the FBI. He quit, and then he went on to write this book. And it's worth reading it because, we see today what he predicted in the 50s. We see the consummation of it here in front of our face today. And it is very sobering to read the book.
Well, it's another thing. It's more sobering, I think, to be living out the book.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely.
This is what we're seeing, and people are absolutely going crazy. I mean, well, let me give you one lucid account. This is so typical what I get. I want everyone to listen to this. These are from a couple that listens to the show, and they communicate with me frequently. And it says, we swear that one local Chinese food restaurant is full of Chinese military based on how they look, walk, and act. Now, you could view this as unsubstantiated, you could view this as hyperbole or just, you know, wild imagination. But, you know, Bob, I've heard from these people in other ways, and what they have always done in their communications have been completely forthright and reasonable. I've never got anything like this from them, but I get these every day. Russians, Chinese.
There is a bit of a difference between Russia and China as far as their global outlook. You know, Russia really, during most of the Cold War, wanted just parity with the West. They just wanted to make sure Russia had experienced the highest fatality. In fact, their fatality rate in World War II was higher than all other nations combined. 20-some million people died. They did not want that again. I mean, so they just wanted parity to prevent another war. I don't think the Russians, even under the Brezhnev era, wanted nuclear war. I don't. I say this guardedly. Chinese philosophy and doctrine says they're superior, and they want dominance. And, you know, we're going to be dealing with those. See, the problem in the Spratly Islands hasn't gone away, and that could be inflamed in one night if the wrong decision's made. One night we could see a conflict arise over what's going on there. Those islands are building on the Spratlys, and they think they're superior, and it's a very, very dangerous situation. And again, a lot of the other situations we don't want to forget. We don't know how many jihadis are in America today, or just sitting there. We don't know what kind of weapons they smuggled in. Have they smuggled nuclear weapons in? Are they actually fissionable nuclear weapons? Are they dirty nuclear weapons? We don't know. And so, again, one man, president, is not going to fix it. I'm very, very thrilled that Donald Trump got elected, but it could exacerbate an already inflamed and with vitriol hatred left if he starts, you know, dismantling their edifice in a manner. He kind of reminds me of a character in the Bible called Josiah. If you ever never read about him, he went up into the high places and just started smashing down all the idols that the previous administrations had set up. And I mean, you know, he did it with a passion. It might not go over well if that's done, and I think it needs to be done, but I don't think it'll go over well. And we could easily see any one of these number of groups, again, that multifaceted civil war, any number of these groups either join together in force and do something that would actually be a destructive, like a dirty bomber weapon, or they could do a cyber attack, which could be even more catastrophic than a nuclear weapon. So we are at a very, very dangerous time in our history. We've allowed this to come in, and it's not going to be unrooted easily. And I would dare say, Dave, it's not going to be unrooted without bloodshed. I mean, I hate to say that. I do.
Yeah, as you know, Doug and I talked about that in the first hour, and I think that there's no question that that's coming. And that's just why I tell people, you know, you really need to do a number of things. And let me start the ball rolling down this alley here. One, have enough food and water. Two, have the means to protect it. Three, have a defensible position. Four, have alliances with your neighbors that you can count on.
Networking is, you know, it is the untapped resource, and what I will call, for lack of a better term, the prepper community, networking. You want to network now. You want to be able to trust, find people that you can trust, and because you don't know how far that trust will need to be extended. Maybe circumstances where your children would have to be trusted with them. And so it's that is an untapped resource that I encourage all people to do. The Christian church, throughout its history of 2,000 years, it's replete with networking. When the church had to go underground, there were groups of Christians that networked together, one group with another group. Maybe only one leader knew the rest of the members in the other group, and it was good that was done that way to prevent any compromise. But we really need to get to know those whom we can trust, and just because they're going to church doesn't mean you can trust them. I think that's the one thing Mr. Hagman maybe left out is that, you know, it might be our neighbor, but it might be the guy sitting next to us in church. That's going to be the guy that's going to turn us in or do something that's not going to be very good for us. And so we really need to find out who we can rely on. I've had friends for 25 years, David, and I know if I called him up tonight and I had a need, I know he'd do everything in his power, or these friends would do everything in their power to you know, help me. Even if it's the worst of circumstances, they help me. I know if for some reason, and I'm not a criminal, but if something came about to where they made some type of particular behavior or criminal activity, you know, even so far as taking and caring for my family, we really need to work that, because as these people start to dissect and break down America, the deep government, and again, the deep pockets of these Luciferian globalists, we're going to have to trust people like never before. And Steve Quayle will tell you how many people have betrayed him. I mean, you really do have to know the people you want to trust. And that's not going to come about under pressure like, hey, you want to form a group? Let's get together and do it. You know, that's not going to work that way. This is something that you develop with prayer and just long-term commitment, and you observe people's behavior in the worst and the best of times, how they behave. And so it really does need to be done now. And again, you said it, food will be used to coerce. It'll absolutely be used to coerce people. It's been done throughout history. We mentioned that last time I was on. I read that article, and it broke my heart that there's 2 million teenagers in this country right now that regularly sell themselves for food. Not for drugs. I mean, that's bad enough, but for food? For food. They sell themselves for food. 2 million. And so we live in very perilous times in this country. Not on top of that, I mean, we have they're already talking about raising interest rates on the debt. That would cripple the economy right there. That would send us into a tailspin. If they added 1% interest rate to the national, to the interest rate, we wouldn't be able to service the debt. I mean, there's so many leaks in the dam, Dave. Again, get ready.
It's only going to hasten the demise.
Yes.
The economy, here's one thing that would save the economy, and we'd have to be willing to go through 5 to 10 years of depression, to do what they did in Iceland, put the bankers in jail, and say hell no to the debt, repudiate the debt entirely. That could save the country financially. However,
that would be the only thing that would do it.
There you go. And that's exactly my point. But there'll be a civil war before that happens. I mean, nukes would be unleashed. Different situation in Iceland than here. The stakes are higher. The other side would unleash pandemics and nukes to stop this from happening.
And again, the cyber war, it doesn't take much. You know, they can overload power lines, cause them to fail, turn power off, turn the EBT cards off, turn the water off, turn the supply chain off, you name it, it can be done. It can be difficult to do it, but there are brains out there that know how to do it. If you can figure a way to block it, somebody can figure a way to unblock it. And they're doing it all the time. I believe it was in the book Lights Out that Ted Koppel wrote, that he said he called them the cyber bombs are already in place. They're already lurking deep in the software, and all someone has to do is put a code in, and that cyber bomb goes off. But they're already there. And so it's just, it's just a moment, one day can change everything. And again, we have to go back to the historical, what we have historically, and say, do they allow people like Donald Trump to go in there and be iconoclastic and just start breaking down all their icons? No, they don't. So,
what do you think they're going to do if you were to postulate here? And we're just speculating, okay? This is just hypothetical guessing. Between now and Inauguration Day, what are you watching out for?
Well, obviously, false flag. Obviously, this Thanksgiving, Christmas holiday, we could see something that'd be very, very disruptive happen to where they, you could say the inauguration, they could put it in jeopardy. We could see electors changing their minds, as you talked about earlier. We could see a massive civil disruption during the inauguration itself. We're so vulnerable. It's hard to guess. I can throw out 100 things, and still it might be the 101st thing, because there's so many vulnerabilities out there in the system. There's so many cracks in the system. The system has gotten so large that no one can manage it. No one knows how to manage it. I mean, they're opposing things within the same system. There's one that says you have to do this, one that says you can't do this. It's very, very complex, and so those vulnerabilities in the system will be exploited. And when they will, people's lives will be affected. And supply chain is a big one. Whether it's electricity supply chain, water supply chain, EBT, food, whatever, supply chain is going to be a big one. Violence has always been a precursor, or part of a Marxist revolution, taking down a country. Violence, and we see the violence today. The very people that were calling Trump people violent, racist, bigots, and everything else, well, they're the ones that are violent, racist, bigots, and everything else. They're just, doing everything he can to disrupt. And the fact, David, and I said this just 20, 30 minutes ago, but the fact that we have a sitting president and a person who wanted to be president not saying a word about this violence, they when Donald Trump says, I don't know if I'm going to take the outcome of the election if I disagree with it, sitting down, and they just went absolutely berserk over it. And now the people that went berserk over him saying that are going berserk over the fact that he won, and nobody's saying anything about it. they're encouraging it. Again, there's sins of omission and sins of commission. There's sins I commit because, like, I want to go do something, and there's sins that I don't do that I should have done. And this is a sin of omission on their part. I mean, they're encouraging this violence by not saying anything. There's no, I mean, I think it's clear, crystal clear, that they are encouraging this violence. And so, again, I don't know how much more we can reiterate. You and Mr. Hagman did a very good job at the first hour, and I think, you know, we're just reiterating what we said earlier. But again, people need to look at their position of where they're at and say, if something changed tonight, what would I do? Do I have the food in my house to make sure I can ride out a storm? And I think this storm could last easily a year. There's the article of My Year in Hell that was written about the Bosnian War. Anybody can go online and download it. I mean, it's pretty graphic. So if you download it, just be ready for some graphic stuff that you're going to read. Again, the book, we've mentioned it several times on here, you know, Savage Continent, you had two very highly evolved nations, Italy and Germany, the great science, great art, great literature, great music, great everything came out of those nations, and yet, after the war, people, it was very, very difficult. And it was 3 or 4 years there. I think we could go into a very, very, very caustic time where I think America could permanently break up. Functionally, right now, parts of America aren't parts of America. I mean, they're being reclaimed by different people groups. And they might be America in name, but other languages are being spoken and other philosophies are being implemented. I mean, you look at these Sharia laws that are cities that are being succumbing to Sharia law because they're 90% of the population. That's the law they're going to enforce. And so, as this spreads more and more, and with the help of the globalist, we got to be ready for it.
Democratic Party. I call them the new American Communist Party.
Well, there's no doubt they are.
You look at Ellison, the guy that they're tapping to be the DNC chair, he's not just a Muslim. He is radical Muslim. He espouses Sharia law.
I mean, I really think she would have been president. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know if Hillary had the mental faculties between the barbiturates, the amphetamines, the alcohol, and every other thing they had her propped up on, plus whatever diseases she has. I think Huma Abedin would have probably been functioning president in a lot of ways. Saudi connections, her parents are radicals. I mean, it's there. We don't. Anybody who can't see it, Dave, doesn't want to see it. That's my point. If you don't see it, you don't want to see it. It's easy to stick your head in the sand, but, you know, I read that Patrick Henry speech. I want to know the truth. I want to know the totality of the truth, and I want to prepare for it. That's the give me liberty, give me death speech. I want to know. And people that really want to protect their posterity, I want my posterity to live. I want my posterity to live the next 400 or 500 years if Christ doesn't return. I want them there. I loved what Mike Adams said. You know, these snowflakes, they're just one natural selection event from being bred out of the gene pool. Forgive me for laughing, but it's true. They don't reproduce. They don't breed. Their children are wicked, evil little things that you don't breed because they're carbon consumers.
You know what's going to put them out of the gene pool, Bob? A woman with good taste in men.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
They want a man. They don't want a wimpy, spineless little wimp, a sissy.
No, they don't. But there was a great article Mike Adams wrote. If you haven't read it, you know, one natural selection event away from them being permanently depleted from the gene pool. Very good. But so, again, just encouraging people to look at the situation. Don't be caught up into the euphoria of one political party, saying that everything is, again, we're going to restore and make America great again. There's very, very complex problems out there that we've got to deal with, and I don't think we're going to be able to deal with them effectively. effectively because we're not dealing with them in the manner that they need to be dealt with. They're spiritual problems, not political problems. And so it's going to take a humble nation. It's going to take a nation that falls before God and confesses its national sin. And I don't think we're at that point yet. You know, we still, today, 4,400 whatever children murdered in this country. The blood of their, the blood of those children went unrequited. Today, you know, we celebrate the perversion of the sanctity of what God says a marriage is. It's not going to change. And to make it clear, none of us are advocating violence towards any people group or any person. We don't advocate it, but we do want to stand up and say this is right and this is wrong. And you know, we don't want violence towards anybody. I don't. And so, but it's still right and wrong. And unless we deal with those issues, the God of heaven, the God of justice, you know, he is going to bring the destruction on our nation. And it doesn't matter if the economy is good. It doesn't matter if the economy is bad. God can bring judgment on a good economy and a bad economy. And sometimes, you know, when things are really good, people fall asleep. And that's what it says in the scripture. It says that sudden destruction will come upon them because they did not love the truth. And so we're going to have to be prepared for that. Get ready. I don't know how many more times I can say it. Get ready.
Well, let's talk about getting ready. I know that, let me start by example. I'm convinced that the social unrest is going to grow to the point to where you are going to be forced in a defensive posture. I mean, I don't think everyone's going to be there, but those unlucky enough to be out of harm's way, or lucky enough, I should say, to be out of harm's way, can probably tune out. How do you know, though? So, Bob, as you know, I want the night vision, you know, the PVS unit, and I need a little bit of armor. And so let's talk about those things a little bit.
Well, you know, we were talking about it before the program. We just came up with a product. I think it's phenomenal. I've already purchased one for myself, and I'm going to get one for my wife. It's Elsa. They go to our website. They can type in the name Elsa, E-L-S-A. It stands for Emergency Lightweight Armor. Life-saving armor, emergency life-saving armor. And what it is, it looks like just a Condor briefcase that you would carry a computer in. You know, anything like that. It has handles on it, you carry it around, you can put it in your shopping cart, you can carry it anywhere. It looks unassuming. But in 15 seconds, I can unzip it, throw it over myself, and it's really a bulletproof or bullet-resistant vest all the way up to a 30 caliber bullet, like a 308. You'd never know it by looking at it. There's a video that they've produced that's absolutely outstanding, Elsa. And if that's all they do, if they go to the search engine and type in Elsa, they'll find it. But again, nobody ever thinks they're going to be in these situations where you're going to have an active shooter. And Dave, let me just drop back here just a little bit. These people that are going nuts over that, they seem like they've lost all cognitive ability to make moral choices or make choices that are rational. How big of a leap is it to say, I'm discontent with the election, things aren't going my way, you know, I'm Generation Snowflake, whatever, I'm going to get a gun and bad hair day and go take it out on people. Or it could be orchestrated. On a larger scale, the radical jihadis in this country, they could have what they call, I think it's the day or the day of reckoning, whatever, where they go out en masse and do it. This thing, you can, again, you carry it with you, you know, just unzip it, and it's so you can fit it. You can fit it ahead of time, so you just throw it on, and it has a plate in the front and a plate in the back. It covers your vitals. And, it'll stop all your handgun rounds. It'll stop at AR-15 and AK-47. It'll stop at 308. You know, we live in a generation a day when you tell people they need body armor, and it's like, gosh. Think about it. You might just need it. And the nice thing about it is it'll save your life. And as I, you know, tell people again, they can go look at it. I highly recommend this piece of body armor because of its concealability. I could carry it anywhere. Nobody would know what it is. There's a video. You can watch it and carry it, and you wouldn't have a clue what it is. but and inside there's actually inside when you unfold it, there's webbing on the inside, so you could put an emergency first aid kit, you could put a couple extra magazines, you could put a whatever you want to put in there, because of the webbing, and it's just like military grade webbing that you could put that stuff in there. It's been quite popular. A lot of people are ordering it. So just look it over. And again, I know a lot of people have expressed the desire to get night vision. And Dave, I bought 10 of them. And that's really, it's a big outlay for our company to buy 10 pieces of night vision. But these night visions are PBS 14 auto-gated. Auto-gated means that it adjusts to the light. So if somebody flashes a flashlight or a muzzle flash or some bright light at you, the unit dims down, and as soon as that light's gone, it comes back up. I want to make one thing clear. Hollywood has done night vision a great disservice. You can't take a flashlight and shine it at somebody wearing night vision and blind them. It has never done that. It never does that. So please, let's dispel that myth right now.
Bob, it has to. I saw it on TV.
Of course. The people's watched it.
Got to be true.
Patriot Games had it in there, in the movie, if you remember the movie Patriot Games.
Yeah.
I can't believe Tom Clancy actually allowed that in the movie. It doesn't blind you like that. It turns off. To protect the tube, it turns off. It doesn't blind anybody. But a non-gated unit, if they're not gated, it'll turn off. So you have to actually take the switch, turn it off, turn it back on to get it up. An auto-gated unit, which this is, it shunts the light down. As soon as the light's gone, it comes back up. So muzzle flash doesn't turn it off, flashlights don't turn it off, and it definitely doesn't blind you. You know, if anybody wants to come to our store, I'll gladly put a pair of night vision on and let you shine a flashlight right in my eye. It won't hurt me. But the thing is that with these tubes, they have about, 10, 20, 30 hours of use on the tube. The housings are brand new, but they come with a 5-year warranty. So instead of the $3,200 price range, we have, I think, five units available that we're going to sell for $2,395, and that includes the shipping. So you're saving over $800 for those people who wanted a night vision. This is, and it really is the best deal we've ever offered on it. So it's if they go to the website and they type in the search engine, which is in the top left-hand corner, Hodges NV, November Victor, it'll come up. I put that in the title so people could look it up. Hodges NV. It'll come up and you can get, but again, when there's only five, so when they're sold, you won't be able to buy it. You won't be able to purchase it. It'll just shut down. Everybody who's ever come to our store, Dave, first time they look through night vision, they go, I had no idea. I cannot believe this. I can't believe how good it is. I can see hundreds of yards clearly. So it is really that force multiplying tool that when things go bad, you can, as we talked earlier, you can put a kill switch on your car. Now, you don't do this during normal times because you'll get arrested or at least a big fine from the police. But you can easily drive a car with this night vision on. You can put a kill switch, turn all the lights in your car off, your dome lights, your headlights, your tail lights, all of them. So there's no lights in the car, and it's a dark night. I can drive my car down the road. That's how good it is. If I need to hike home, I can hike home. Most people cannot maneuver at night. And I've talked before, and we have hundreds of operators now that have come back from Iraq that know what night vision does. And they know how to, we've talked about this, and I'm going to mention it quickly. An operator with night, you might have all the food you have, you might have all this, your guns, you might have all that, but an operator with night vision is going to know how to break your sleep patterns up, and they're going to know how to scare the hell out of you, because doing that, it ramps up your adrenaline and norepinephrine. And that's about a 2-hour cycle that they're going to do. And just so you know, that's how it works. They're going to time that crash of that norepinephrine and adrenaline that when your sleep cycle hits, usually around dusk, midnight, and about 4 o'clock in the morning. And they're going to do that to you. And believe me, I've had it done to me. Dave, if you've never extreme fatigue, to all you can fantasize about is a bed. You just want to go to sleep. It is so discombobulated you when somebody has effectively done that to you for a couple of days that all you can think about is sleeping. I just want to sleep. And you just start making very poor decisions. And in that poor decision process, people are going to take advantage of you. So Hodges NV, you can get, a night vision unit. Then we have a PVS 14, third generation, auto-gated. The tubes have a slight use on them. They do come with a 5-year manufacturer's warranty, so it's not like if something goes wrong, you're going to be stuck out in the dark, you know, no pun intended, with money out that you don't get. It's a 5-year warranty on the tube. And so, and it comes with a head mount. It comes with a weapons mount, so you can mount it on a Picatinny rail. You can mount it on your head. You can hand hold it, obviously, for observation. And it runs on one AA battery. One AA battery will last you about 40 hours. The tubes will last about 40,000 hours. That means if you run it every day continuously for 10 years, it'd still be working. They're very, very, very durable. You can actually take it underwater, about 30 feet, 40 feet underwater. So, I mean, they're just an incredibly good piece of equipment to have. And when we see this happen, and I'm saying as a matter of fact, that unless the grace of God brings revival to our nation, we're going to see this civil war, this multifaceted, multifaction civil war in our country. The two things I've just mentioned, body armor and night vision, and I'll throw it in with communication. That's why, again, you've heard me mention over and over again, people to get their ham radio license, get your ham radio license. The radios at Walmart are not going to be able to communicate. The radios, ham radio does. If it's even a grid down, if it's been a hacking system that turns the electricity off, most repeaters in this country, and there's thousands of them, run on battery backup, so you'll have a week, 2 weeks, 30 days of communication with ham radio that the line of sight pieces, the stuff that you buy from Walmart, you're not going to talk to anybody with those. They barely work a mile. I don't care if the box is 36 miles. They work maybe a mile. But I can easily, with ham radio, a handheld ham radio, talk, you know, hit a repeater. There's one, I live in Tellico Plains, there's one at Sweetwater, you know, 20 miles away. I can hit that, and from there I can put out a footprint of 100 miles. So I can talk to anybody.
Oh, you're going so fast. I mean, this is what I'm going to hear after the show. I'll get some emails, and I understand that. Bob has given you a plethora of information, but let me slow it down a little bit, Bob, here, and we got just about, I don't want to miss my cue again, but we got about, let's see what we got here, a little over a minute left, so it's time for me to give out your phone number and your website address. Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com, that's readymaderesources.com. And the phone number to reach Bob at, and I know he'll consult with you, same way he's consulting right now with us, give him a call at 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809. Don't wish you would have done this when you're trying to bug out and don't have what you need. I'm soon to be a happy customer with these two items that Bob talked about. I think they're indispensable if you can afford to do it. And if you can't afford to do it, then do what you can. Absolutely
network.
Do what you can.
Network with people. You'll find somebody that has this equipment. I have networks of friends that we rely on each other. Dave, network. We talked about the lady who's on the widow who's on a small budget. You know, I want to be able to help her out. That's godly religion there, to do stuff like that. So we network together, and hopefully we will make it through what's coming, because I would say matter-of-factly it's coming.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, we are flat out of time, so we've got to say adieu. Thanks so much for an interesting, if not upsetting, hour. You're right. It's blue versus gray. It's here. ReadyMadeResources.com. You know, check Bob out tomorrow with, what was it again, Hodges NV in the search engine.
Hodges NV and then the Elsa body armor. And I'll be around for about another half an hour if somebody wants to call the 800 number, 627-3809, if they have any questions.
Okay. We are out of here. Thanks a lot, Bob. Take care, my friend.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving. And happy Thanksgiving to all of you, if I don't get to say it at the end of the show. We'll be back after a word from these sponsors, and we'll be joined by two great guests in the third hour. We'll pick it up there.